seven tries.
Okay, folks, good afternoon. Today is 3 p.m. It's Tuesday, March the 29th, 2022. And we'll start our workshop. First item that we'll do is the roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem.
Sorry. Jennifer McCann, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Michael Blomquist, place two.
Michael Blomquist, Councilman, place two, is present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, place three, and I am present.
Okay, thank you. Linda Nash, place four.
Linda Nash, place four, present.
Thank you. Sam Hallaby, place five.
Sam Hallaby, place five, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Okay, thank you. City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, we've got a full boat, and we do have a quorum. Second item for the agenda, mayoral proclamations and presentations. Number one, proclamation declaring April 3rd through the 9th, 2022 as National Library Week. Get myself mic'd up here. Always a pleasure to do library stuff. We're good. All right. Attention to the proclamation. Whereas our nation's libraries are modern community centers for education, information, and entertainment, and play a vital role in providing millions of people with the resources they need to learn, live, and work. And whereas libraries are changing and dynamic places, and librarians are valuable to society for their assistance to people of all ages in the pursuit of information. And whereas libraries are places of opportunity, education, self-help, and lifelong learning, and an integral part of the American dream. And whereas each library in its own unique fashion brings patrons the world through books, computers, audios, interlibrary loan, and the internet. And whereas awareness and support must be increased for libraries by raising the visibility of libraries in a positive context and by communicating clearly and strongly why libraries are both unique and valuable. Whereas individuals should be encouraged to utilize the vast resources available at libraries, and whereas libraries and library supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week on April 3rd through the 9th with the theme, Connect with your library. Now therefore I, Spencer H. Smith, Mayor of the City of Harker Heights, do hereby proclaim April 3rd through 9th, 2022 as National Library Week and encourage all residents to check out the wonderful resources at the Stuart C. Meyer Harker Heights Public Library. In witness whereof, I've set my hand and affixed the seal of the City of Harker Heights, Texas, this 29th day of March, 2022, signed Spencer H. Smith, Mayor. Good. Okay. You got something to say?
I always have something to say.
Of course.
I always ask, how much time do I have? I am joking. We're in a little bit smaller setting today, but thank you so much for allowing me to do this. Next week is National Library Week, and we are so excited every single week of the year, but we really want to use this week as a way to encourage everyone to visit the library, visit us online as well as in the building. We're so excited to be in both places. And please tell your friends and your family about our library and other libraries that they may choose to visit.
Okay. And thank you for all that you do and all that your team does. Thank you. Good. Moving on, we'll go to item number three, presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, State law, Texas Government Code Section 551.042, prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information, or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes. Do we have anyone wishing to speak to the council at this time? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to item number four. Discussion items. Number one, receive and discuss an update on capital improvement projects. Public Works Director.
Thank you, Mayor. We will start today with the street improvement program. Please stop me along the way if you have any questions. We'll try to answer those for you. So the construction costs for this project, we have a few change orders we have added since the award. It's right at $2.7 million. And we awarded this contract to Lone Star Grading and Materials with a notice to proceed date of December 1st and the final completion August 2022. And I know everybody's getting anxious. The contractor has been delayed in starting, no fault of the city's. They still have plenty of time to finish the contract. We do have a contract full of remedies if they don't get on board soon. And we are working with them, trying to get them started. Tomorrow they plan to work on Crowfoot Drive, and we'll go through that project here in just a minute. So this is in response to Winter Storm Uri. We have a lot of failures out in the streets, a lot of point repairs, look like big potholes basically. So these 19 streets we targeted for this street point repair work. Does anybody have any questions on those streets?
No, sir.
Okay. That's just a good example of a point repair. It's just a localized section. If there were several of these back to back, we would do the whole street. But this is a good example. I believe that's on Amy Lane. And the method, so what they'll do, they'll go in there and remove the asphalt and the crushed limestone base, which is roughly 9 inches. Then they'll come back with hot mix, a type B hot mix, lay 7 inches of that, and then they'll overlay it with 2 inches of type D hot mix, which is a smaller gravel with a better riding surface on it.
Mark?
Yes, sir.
When they do those points, those sections on that, this is a section like that, when they lay that back down though, I mean, is it completely even with the perimeter that's on there so you can't get any water intrusion?
Yes, sir, it is. So when they go back in with the hot mix, they will lay it in there and even it out, and then they will roll it, actually compact it, and so it will get, it will take up all of the spaces through there.
Mark, I know you said that they have until August to complete this task. Is there any limitations on with that repair method there with hot weather?
No, not hot weather. It actually works better in the warm
okay.
weather.
All right, yes. So that's good to know.
I have a question for you, Mark.
Yes, ma'am.
I know you said that if it's several of them back to back, then you do the whole street. But how long does one have to be that you don't do the street?
That's a good question. So when we budgeted these, they were all point repairs, and the engineer and myself started looking at it, and we looked at the difference of those point repairs versus doing the whole street. We found some areas doing the whole street was more economical than those little point repairs are expensive. They have to go to each one, do it, pull all their equipment up, go to the next one. When you do a whole street, it's more more fluid with all the equipment.
Could you give us this is Jacqueline Fontaine, Councilwoman Place 3. Could you give us an updated list of those that got transferred from a point to an entire street repair?
Yes, I think we can identify those as we go through. These are the streets that will get the concrete stabilization with the hot mix overlay, Wildwood Drive, Crowfoot. These are all good examples. I think Crowfoot was originally on the point repair list and it moved off. Pioneer was on the point repair list. Miller's Crossing, Memory Lane, those were the ones we moved off, and Comanche Gap Road, actually.
So when you say you moved off, you did it completely?
Well, they had so many point repairs that it just made sense to do the whole street.
Mark, there is, I know there is a weather factor sometime, but what is the time frame, for this construction?
Well, they were supposed to start back in December.
From the time they start, like?
Oh.
I know there is a weather factor, may rain, this, but I mean, just.
So they have a.
Just an idea.
They have another contractor that will be doing the point repairs. They have some concrete work, some sidewalks, some curb and gutters and things like that. They'll have another crew doing those. So I would say the point repairs, if they stay on them, those would be done in probably 45 to 60 days. These other streets with the rehabilitation will probably take a little bit longer.
Thank you.
So this is Wildwood Drive. We'll be reconstructing Wildwood from 2410 there to Pioneer Trail. And we're replacing a box culvert, drainage box culvert there at Pinewood Drive, which is part of our drainage master plan to improve the drainage through there. So we went ahead and knocked it out with this street program. And you will have a sidewalk on the east side. And that's what Wildwood looks like now. Currently, it does not have a curb and gutter on one side, and we will be bringing curb and gutter with this project.
Excellent.
So you'll have a really nice street when it's finished. Mm-hmm. This is Crowfoot Drive. We'll be reconstructing this section from Mountain Line Road to Ponderosa Drive. And this is the one that will start tomorrow. And you can see all the patches through here. Pioneer Trail from FM 2410 to Grizzly Trail. Reconstruct that section. And then Miller's Crossing between the Freddy's driveways. You've got the Freddy's here, they have a driveway here and then one here. And this section of road has actually gotten worse since Winter Storm Uri. And what we'll do is we'll get with our engineer and the contractor and we'll measure off the remaining defects in each of these streets and then see about a change order, see what we can do to pick those up and change order those into the project as well. Yes, sir.
Will you be doing Miller's Crossing down along Carl Evans?
We can look at that too, yes, sir.
Because that's another big bad stretch there.
Yes.
Especially with that hotel going in there.
Yes, sir. And then Chaucer Lane from Vernalee Boulevard to Stonehenge Drive. This is the high school here, and then this is Vernalee Boulevard. See, that road's in pretty bad shape. Any questions on the 21 street improvements before I move into these? Okay.
That on Chaucer, when they developed that, did the developer put that road in?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And how many years have we seen that now?
Chaucer was in probably before I left in 09, probably.
Okay. It sat for a long time without any housing on it.
Yes.
Really long time.
It might have been that when they, since it did that, a lot of the construction concrete trucks and things like that may have taken a real toll on it back in the day, since it was a primary access for that neighborhood, and it was not, it was, the road was put in well before the houses were, so.
So this is our 2022 street improvements for this year. We have a budget of $820,000, and Kasberg Patrick and Associates, they have been our street engineer for the past projects. They'll be giving us a proposal, and we will be doing a concrete stabilization rehabilitation on those four streets: Huron Trace, Seminole Trace, Maya Trail. Those three streets are all pretty well together in Comanche land, and then Sun Meadows Drive is up off of Old Nolanville Road by Peloton Ridge, if you know where that is. Those were in the budget last year, and we would like to go ahead and proceed with those this year. Next, we have our Warriors Path street reconstruction project phase two. So this is looking back at Warriors Path from across the street at 2410. This is where your traffic light would be. Mm-hmm. This is looking back the other direction from Pontotoc Trace, where we have the existing improvements. You can see the left turn lane where it tapers down. We'll be connecting there with the phase two project and taking it to FM 2410. And then the construction cost for this one is $3.5 million. Engineering is $452,000. And it's currently in engineering design. In fact, this morning we met with the Texas Department of Transportation, went over the project, talked about the environmental and some of the milestones that they look for to keep the project moving forward. We have been approved funding for the project from K-Tempo, and TxDOT has agreed to an August 2023 let date with, we estimate the construction of a 9-month timeline.
Mayor, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano-Fontaine, Place 3. Mark, could you tell us a little bit about the environment and what was discussed during that period, the environment?
Well, we will have a consultant to do the environmental study, and they look for things like archaeological, anything like that that might affect the project. We do not believe there's going to be anything in there to worry about. The phase one, there was nothing there. This existing road was a county road back in the day, and I would be very surprised if they find anything to worry about environmentally.
Thank you.
Mark, just on this one, is Nolanville going to play as far as the sidewalk on the east side?
Let me back up a slide here. So their sidewalk would actually be on this side, and somewhere right in, well, further back towards the high, the middle school, there's the city limit line, and that's where the Nolanville sidewalk would end. So where you see my truck park, that is all Harker Heights right through there.
And KISD won't have any play in this at all as well. Okay.
Is there any sidewalks? Is that what you're asking? Do you
well, the thing is, because it's going to be outside. I mean, they played, we had four folks playing in phase one.
Right.
That's the
right
thing. It's just trying to make it explicitly clear that they're not going to play in this, that it's going to be KTMPO and us that will be doing it.
The reason I ask that is just because the amount of kids that walk to school and shouldn't on that road. Mm-hmm. But I get that they do have a bus route still, because there's not sidewalks along the road. I just didn't know if there's a way for them to contribute at some point, because that road, you can't just put a sidewalk right here and go, you know, I'm not trying to down KISD, right, but there's so many kids, and there's about to be, you know, three times that many kids
on the other side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're not going to have any way to get to school, and for doing bus routes, I would think, wouldn't be that cost or time effective. But do they not come in at any point to?
They have historically not come in with us, other than they did participate with us, of course, in that section that was right in front of the school. And we have had some preliminary discussions, very preliminary discussions, if they do the Nolan Middle, the Nolan Elementary School. They're supposed to build a much bigger facility there, that there may be some partnering we can do. So that's, it's in its infancy, but there may be a partnership between the school district, the county, us, and Nolanville. That's for the northern, that's the northern area. The northern area, trying to get that tied in, because we're going to take care of the southern area with this K-Tempo dollar. But at this point, they don't have any skin in the game in this one.
Got it.
Have they ever?
Just in front of their school.
Just in front of the school, some there, but I'm not aware of them ever, Mark, that they've ever participated
in any other situation.
So we're fixing to do the ones that go down 3481. I mean, that's on the city. We're fixing to do that project all the way down to Vineyard. That's on us. Nobody's participating in that but us. So historically, I've not seen them. Christina's here as well. Christina, are you familiar with them ever participating with any?
Not unless
they're getting
touched on
the
parcel. Okay. But they don't provide bus services within a certain proximity of the schools.
They do if there's no sidewalks.
Okay.
That's why. So there, you can't have a bus route if you're in walking distance, which I don't know what their exact walking distance is, but if they don't, if there are no, is it 2 miles? But if they don't have sidewalks, they have to do a bus route, because they're, those kids cannot walk on the Warriors path. I mean, it's insane. Just to come out of our street on Iron Jacket, there's cars in the morning that will fly over the hill,
right,
60, 70 miles an hour.
Right. And
just come to a screeching halt right there where the school stop sign is.
Right.
But even then they blow through. Our crossing guard complains daily. I mean, it's pretty bad.
Christine, I think the developer on the Nolanville side is supposed to put the sidewalk in, if I heard that correctly, on their side.
That is correct. They've adopted our standards when it comes to sidewalks, the city of Nolanville has. And so there is a proposal for sidewalks. And during the K-Tempo meetings, we have had discussions with the city manager from Nolanville in regards to the phase three portion, which is important.
Okay. And timeline, that you may have already said that for phase three.
For phase three, there is no good timeline at this point. Again, we've had those initial conversations with the school district. If they are going to build the school like they're talking about, if they're going to have, they were talking about having an access point over to Warriors Path, if they're going to do that, I just think it's a great synergy moment for us, because we could get possibly school district dollars, Nolanville dollars, ours, as well as the county.
Yes.
Together, we could do that lift a lot easier than it would be if it's just Harper Heights coming through there. So I put that out there. We'd be very interested in continuing that conversation, so they're aware that we're very interested in continuing that once they know better what they're doing.
Got it.
But the thing is that just talking sidewalks, so phase three to Old Nolanville Road.
Phase three would be roadway improvements, because they need actually bus stacking in there. So it would be roadway and sidewalk.
Right. Mm-hmm. So. And so, and as far as KTMPO is, that's not even on the radar scope. That's,
no.
I don't even think it's in the tip right now. It's so far out.
It's not, no.
So
that one, that's why I said it would be interesting, because given all the entities, we could lift that a lot easier together with dollars than us going along on it, because it's not even on the tip, which means it is years out before KTMPO brings dollars on that.
Member McCann, now this is our existing sidewalk from phase one, and we will extend this all the way to FM 2410. So we'll have a sidewalk all the way to the middle school, or just past the middle school.
Wonderful. Okay, great. Baby steps, love them.
Mm-hmm. This is the sidewalk project on Stillhouse Lake Road. On the west side from Prospector Trail to Vineyard Trail. And we have awarded that project. In fact, tomorrow we're having a pre-construction meeting with Choice Builders to get them started. And you can see there on the left, we're looking across Prospector Trail there back to the south, and then the right picture is looking southbound across the big drainage channel there, the bridge. And so we'll be bringing the sidewalk up next to the guardrail and crossing through there, and we won't have to have the big pedestrian bridge that costs like $500,000.
Yeah.
So that was a huge savings for us.
Yeah, that savings council was allowed us to speed up the sidewalk on the other side. If we had to do that pedestrian bridge, it's what, about $500,000 or so, Mark, to get across there? I mean, it really eats into our budget. Since we were able to use the culverts to go across there, then we can speed up the sidewalk project, which is needed on the other side.
Okay. Construction cost, It's $509,000. We have awarded that. We have the pre-construction meeting tomorrow, and then probably issue the notice to proceed within the next week, and they'll have a 5-month completion period for construction. This is on the east side of Stillhouse Lake Road. And originally, we had this broken up in phases, phase 1, 2, and 3 for budgeting, so we could do pieces of it at a time. And like Mr. Mitchell said, now that we've had some money freed up, we went ahead and decided to do all of it. Phase 2 in the middle has been completed by development. As they built those, we required them to put in the sidewalks. And so phase 1 is here by the Catholic Church. That's phase 1, and then phase 3 connects down to Cedarbrook Ridge here. So we'll have a full sidewalk on that side as well, all the way to 2410. That's looking from the existing sidewalk back towards the Catholic Church, back towards the high school there. And then this is looking from Cedarbrook Ridge back towards Prospector.
Mark, you may have this in there. On the west side, we have got it engineered, and we've already bid the project. On this side, we're in engineering, correct?
We're in engineering, yes, sir.
This one's not quite ready to be bid out at this point, Council.
I believe that's the phase 3 that you had on that previous chart there, going across that, heading toward the west, or to the east, I'm sorry. Have you had to work with the developer then? Because they did post the Valero sign there in that field, I believe, that goes right across that. So is that, are they working together to for the plans on that, or is that going to tear up the sidewalk after they you put that sidewalk in there?
We will work with them. It's been very quiet with the Valero. I'm not sure what's going on, but
that came before council not too long ago.
Well, that was approved.
Right. But, you know, if we're going to put sidewalks there, you want to make sure you tie in those projects so that way you're not duplicating.
And we will work with them once they get to that point. They're going to have their ingress, egress point or points in there. We will work with them to make sure that's tied in. Anything, any damage they do to the sidewalk, they will be responsible, of course, for repairing it in there. The issue we've had with these is a lot of times these developments drag on, and we've waited on a few of them to come and do the sidewalk. And the problem is that it ends up the kids for years just walk through a muddy area. And so we found some ways it's best to get out in front of some of those, get it in so the kids don't have to walk through the mud. We don't have any assurance of when they're going to develop that.
Probable construction cost is $350,000. It's an engineering design, like Mr. Mitchell said. We're estimating construction to begin in August of 2022. So KPA believes they can get the plans turned around pretty quick for us. This is our Pinewood Drive drainage channel improvements. This was before the project started. And you can see up here where it wants to turn and the water doesn't. And it was going right into the property there and undermining the fence and getting really close to one of the outbuildings. There it is. You can see the fence falling in there. And this is what we did. We went in there and rock rip wrapped that whole channel, shaped it, and it's doing really good. The property owners are very happy downstream. And you can see they armored the side with concrete up here, and then there's a fence across the top of it as well, a new fence. The cost for that project was $185,000. Took us a long time. Myers Construction, they had a lot of problems with the groundwater and finally had to bypass pump the channel so they could go in there and lay the rocks and the concrete. So they did a good job for us, and we did the final walkthrough on it last week. They have one brush pile left to pick up, and then we finished with the project.
Mark, what is any guarantee
of this?
When they get it done, will they guarantee the job?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it's really a lot of hard rain.
Yes.
It's not going to take
Yes, they have a one-year maintenance bond they put up for anything that's damaged. If they don't come in and repair it, then the city can cash that bond in and repair it ourselves.
Thank you. And Mark, you said that we're replacing the fence on there as part of it?
Yes, sir.
And it's gonna be flat side out?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That one, council in particular, when the pictures Mark showed, kind of showed, you can see a storage building in there. He has a very nice, I think it's on a slab, building behind his home, like a little workshop. And that building was becoming an issue in terms of that water was about to get to where it's gonna undercut that structure. So it's really important that we get ahead of that one. And so we put a priority on that one to get that one done. So that's a really good project to protect that homeowner's property from that water erosion into it.
This is the Goode Connell Park Detention Facility project. This is on our drainage master plan, CIP number one. And probable construction cost on this one is right at $1 million. Engineering design is 95% complete. And Walker Partners believes we should start construction in September of this year. And it'll be a 9-month construction timeline. And if the council remembers, this will be a kind of a dual-purpose facility. It'll be stormwater detention, and then it'll also have a soccer field in the bottom for a park amenity.
Council, this was a bond project as well from your, that your drainage dollars that you get from the citizens supports that bond project. So the dollars for this come from the bond project on drainage.
This is our capital improvement project number two, also on our drainage master plan. We finished phase one between Beeline and Clore, and we'll be working on this phase here between Beeline all the way to Amy. And a lot of conflicts in here with property owners, outbuildings, just you name it. They have all kinds of things in their backyards. And we're trying to work with them on a resolution so they can get what they want and we can get the drainage channel in there. So we have, most of the folks have agreed to allow us the easement, and we have a few that have not. So we will be working with those. And that's looking back, that's the existing concrete channel looking back from Beeline. I will point out this big dangerous leaning tree, we did remove that a while back. So the construction cost for this project for phase two is $405,000. And then three and four, which are not part of this project, $660,000 for that one, and phase four is $1 million. We'll probably leave that for developers unless the city council wants to move forward with that. We will probably leave that for development to pick up and make those improvements. So engineering design on this project is 90% complete. We still have a few drainage easements that we may have to condemn. These are mainly back behind Cardinal Lane where we're having some of the conflicts. This is the Mountain Line Road drainage flume project at Pontiac Drive. So basically we'll be replacing this flume with an underground pipe and then filling all of this in, and then the fences will be sitting on top of grade. So you can see we put these in a few years ago. Really good project, and this was not in the right-of-way at the time, and we found that it needs to be done as well. So we'll package this project with another drainage project when it's ready.
Cross ties were allowed by code at one point, and we don't allow them anymore, council, for retaining walls for this reason. They're failing after a number of years. They last a long time, but when they do fail, they go. And with this one, if it dams it up, our worry is that water comes through there. If these things fail and fall in, it's going to cut into both of those houses during a big storm event, and it creates a dam in there. So,
Mark, do you remember what the number was on the Mountain Lion Road there for when we had to go do the wall and replace all that fencing? a few years ago.
The walls right here, Mark?
Yeah, just for the longer.
Oh, yeah.
What was that, but?
I think it was $300,000 or $400,000, I believe.
It probably was in there. We did that again because those were about to fall out onto the sidewalk itself.
Just one other side on that too, that, that may have residents that live within that area of Skip Shop that have a lot of those ties and stuff that are in their backyard that are failing. City's not responsible for those, okay?
On property.
On their property that they own, okay? This thing was, like Mr. Mitchell said, I mean, it was a safety issue for kids going to school along with their Mountain View and Union Grove, so.
So that project is right at $100,000. Engineering is completed. We'll bid this with the Georgette Drive and probably the Drainage Master Plan number 2. It's a Georgette Drive up on the north part of town. You can see where our street department and drainage department put in this to protect this property. And what it's doing, it's going around and it's chewing into the bank on this side. We need to extend these improvements on back. Mm-hmm. It's $100,000 for the construction cost. Again, we'll try to package it. It's a small project, package it with some other projects.
Council, these projects become much more expensive if we try to just do them by themselves. We bid them by themselves, this $100,000 will be much, much more. So that's why, like Mark keeps saying, packaging them. We've got to package them with larger projects or these just get to be untenable.
The Fuller Lane Ty Valley cross drainage replacement. So these are galvanized tin horns here that cross the street and they're failing. We have Casper Patrick and Associates working on the plans right now, and hopefully we'll be able to bid that by the end of the summer. $54,000 for that project, and we'll be placing the corrugated metal pipes with a concrete box culvert through there. This is the bridge, Roy Reynolds, that spans across Nolan Creek. Years ago, we repaired the other side. We had the same problem on the other side, and we actually got a CDBG grant to do that project. We were not able to get a grant for this one because there was no disaster declaration, so there was no funding available for us. Fortunately, this project is not as costly as the previous.
Now, this is your largest bridge that we maintain in the city, this project. So it's very important that we keep up on it. You can imagine the cost. I don't know, Mark, when you'll spitball what the cost will be on that bridge if we had to replace it.
Oh, wow. No.
Christina, any idea? Put you on the spot.
Several.
Yeah, several million just for that bridge. It's important that we keep up the maintenance on it. And this is our largest bridge that we maintain.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is Jack. We're sitting on the phone saying this is place 3. So we couldn't use nothing for Uri for the winter storm?
No, this actually occurred before the winter storm Uri. We've been trying to, we bid it out a few times and it came in so high we had to relook at it. The engineer came up with another design, which was considerably lower cost. The problem is it's, you can see $122,000 project is small for the big contractors. They don't care for that.
Okay.
So they'll give you a price, but it won't be
$122,000.
This is our FM 2410 utility relocation project. If you recall, TxDOT is going to be widening these drainage structures that cross 2410, extending the head walls out towards the edge of the right-of-way. And we have a 10-inch force main, you can see right there, that was in conflict with the proposed culverts that are going in. And so we had to lower that section of force main. And that project is complete. We finished that last week. Went really well. And so TxDOT is clear to go from our side anyway. It's a $48,000 project for that, and you can see there, TxDOT is planning to let their project this July. This is at our wastewater treatment plant. What you're looking at is a concrete wall, and this is a concrete floor. So at the headworks at the plant, there's a mechanical bar screen. Well, there's two of them where the wastewater comes into the plant. And they take out big objects like two-by-fours, rocks, any kind of debris that might damage the pump station. They remove it. This wall separates those two units. And the problem with the west unit, if you're looking at the plant, the one on the left side, we have to do a confined space entry every time we go work on it. So the engineer is proposing to saw cut a hole right here in this wall for a doorway. And once we have that doorway, then we don't have a confined space anymore, and we can work in there much easier. When we do confined space entries, we have the fire department there. It's a big deal. So we have to be very careful on planning those. The cost on that project is $40,000. We have two contractors working at the plant now, one on the belt filter press, and then the other one finishing up the stairway project. So they've each has promised to give us a quote, and we're waiting to receive those. It's our VFW lift station upgrade, and I've backburnered that project, trying not to stress out our wastewater team too much. These are, anytime you take a lift station down and do a bypass, a big bypass project like that, it's pretty tough. And they've had some other things going at the same time, so we've kind of pushed this one back for now, but we will get it finished. VFW lift station is one of our oldest lift stations in the city, and the concrete wet well just needs some attention. We'll epoxy coat, they'll go in there and clean it really good, and then epoxy coat the concrete, and that'll protect it from the sewer gas in the future. The Beeline Drive Sanitary Sewer Project. So right at $500,000 for that project. It is an engineering design with Burgess and Nyepel. The limits of the project are from Watson Lane to Rebecca Lane. So almost to the HEB, not quite to Amy Lane. We'll be replacing the 6-inch clay tile sewer with 6-inch PVC. And this is our number one project on our sanitary sewer overflow initiative partnership that we have with TCEQ. So if you recall, that's a 10-year program that we have with TCEQ, and this is our first project. The second built filter press at the sludge building. That's our existing press. Came with the plant back in 1991. So it's been a really good machine.
This is your cake maker?
That's it. So the cost for that project is right at $900,000. City Council awarded the project to Archer Western back in this past August. The belt press has been on order with COVID and all of the things going on. The steel is really hard to get. So what we thought was a 3-month turnaround on the press turned into a 6-month. So they have started working in the building. The inside of the building will get cleaned and painted. And then when the press comes, of course, then they'll do the installation on the press. We're still scheduled to be completed in August of this year. Rummel Lift Station capacity expansion project. And this is the project associated with the impact fees. Construction cost is right at $2.5 million. We awarded, the council awarded the project to Black Rock Construction. They were issued the notice to proceed March 1st and the completion scheduled for November 25th of this year. And this gives us capacity for those additional 1,000 homes to the east in that impact fee area that we've been discussing for the last few months. These are sort of new. These are the emergency generators and the aeration blower project at the wastewater plant. So for those of you who toured our plant, we have actually two separate plants that work together. The A plant is the new plant that came on in 1991. The B plant was the old existing clarifier that you saw that was closer to the main building, and that's been in there since the 70s. So what they did, they converted that old, what we call a bullseye plant, into a activated sludge plant. And the A plant treats 1.5 million gallons a day, and the B plant treats 1.5 million. This generator, and this is the generator for the A plant, this is a generator for the B plant. We're going to replace both of those with one large generator that will run on natural gas. So that's the plan. So we're going to see if that will work and give us a good backup. We found during Winter Storm Uri that diesel trucks couldn't, the tanker trucks couldn't come on the roads. So if you had a diesel generator running very long, you're going to be in trouble. And these are the blowers. This is for B plant. So these provide the oxygen for the aeration basin that does all the work for the plant. These are original equipment, very old, been very good. We're going to replace them with some more efficient, what they call turbo blowers. The motor control center will be replaced. Turned into a bigger project than we thought when we started looking at the equipment. It's got a lot of age on it. So it's definitely time to go ahead and replace that. Cost for the aeration and the generator is a little over $1.4 million. And Tonoff Engineering, they're currently working on that. They have been awarded the project. Tonoff Engineering, they are the engineering team that designed our plant that's back in 1991. So they're very familiar with everything there, and we think the project will go pretty smooth. This is Beeline Drive again. This is the water replacement project. So almost the same location. So we'll be going from Amy Lane up to Rebecca Lane. We have a bunch of small diameter water line. You can see here, see all these patches. These are from breaks on a 2-inch galvanized line. So we'll be abandoning that in place and moving the new water line here on this side of the street. Yes, sir.
This is Michael Lomas, Councilman Place 2. This is for you, Mark, and maybe also David. I know a few months back we had notification that they were wanting municipalities to do water testing for lead. Have we been doing some of those things in conjunction with water replacement for these lines, or is that something that we're is going to be in the future?
I'll let Mark speak to that. He's well versed in that one.
So what they have, what's called a lead and copper program through the TCEQ, and the cities, based on findings, so when you do your samples and you send them in, if you have if you exceed the 90th percentile for lead or copper, that throws you into more advanced monitoring. You have to do more monitoring. We are on reduced monitoring and have been since I came to work here. So we have not experienced any problems with lead and copper. Now, the rules have changed, and this is in reference to Flint, Michigan. It's changed for the whole United States, just not for Texas. But one of the things the EPA wants us to do is an inventory of the whole city. They want us to prove that we don't have any lead lines. And so we have to come up with some information that shows that we have documentation that supports that. And so that's why we brought Fries and Nichols on, to help us with that. It's a huge undertaking. It's very expensive, and as Mr. Mitchell has indicated, it's one of those unfunded mandates. You have to do it and figure it out yourself. So we're right in the middle of that right now. We have been approved. So I mentioned we're on reduced monitoring, so we monitor every 3 years. So this year is our third year. In June, we'll take our normal samples again, just like always. And then the next time, when the rules change, we'll be taking probably schools, daycares, some additional samples that we don't take now. So, but I don't look for Harker Heights to be in any trouble as far as any exceedances. We still have to do the inventory like everybody else. And
The age of our city doesn't really lend itself to some of the issues that you saw in like Flint, Michigan, as well as the water that they were using, kind of what leached it out of the lines itself. So it was a little bit of a condition there. But again, looking at the age of our city from 1960 forward, we did develop here in that period when there was a lot of lead use. I think there may be some lead solder potentially in some areas, I think Mark and I talked about. But outside of that, we shouldn't have major lead in the system.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. Mark, you alluded to who shifts the focus? We've gone from residential, and you said schools and daycares. Who directs us to do the
TCEQ?
And could you explain what TCEQ stands for, since we have citizens
sure.
here?
It's the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and they are the agency that overlooks the state of Texas. So EPA basically delegates authority to the TCEQ, and then as far as any kind of water, wastewater permits, testing, anything to do with that is through the TCEQ.
Thank you.
So the water line replacement project, estimating at $370,000. This one is an engineering design also. We'll be replacing the small diameter galvanized lines and also be adding some fire hydrants in the area. So it'll be a good project. So once we finish the water and wastewater improvements, then we can pave the street. And we'll have a nice street when we're finished. Cedar Knob Waterline Replacement Project. This is on our water master plan. We didn't talk about it very much. We've done such a good job in the past. So we'll be installing a 12-inch line probably on that side. The Central Texas Water Corporation, they have a 16 that runs, I believe, the whole length of the road on this side. So we'll be putting in that 12-inch line from FM 2410 all the way to Stillhouse Lake Road. We have a budget of $406,000, and this is from our 2017 water master plan. We'll be replacing the existing 6-inch water line with a 12-inch water line. And again, with this project, when we complete it, then we can look at rehabilitating Cedar Knob Road and hopefully have most of the building and development finished over there before we do that.
Yeah, work should be done by then.
And then we have this one we've been discussing, relocating the city drop site from FM 2410 over to Amy Lane. This is the old Rocket Furniture manufacturing facility that was here, and the buildings have been scraped off, but you can still see the slabs. This is the site we we chose to move. We've looked at, got an engineer on board to see what it would take to get some drainage improvements, paved surfaces. We would do a stick-built building for Nate, something nice there. And so just to get the engineering, the survey, and architectural going, that would be $79,000. And we have not budgeted that this year, but we would like to look at doing that next year. And that's it.
That's cute.
Mark, I got a question for you. With all the drainage projects that we have, as we improve those things, is there anything dealing with FEMA? Because I know a number of years ago with the FEMA flood maps, so that since we've addressed a lot of the drainage in some of those areas of concern, would that be something that that FEMA would come in and take another look at it?
Yes, you have to do a LOMAR, a letter of map revision, to make it official through FEMA. There is a submission involved, and I mean, we can do that, Mayor.
I remember these as far as the cost. I mean, we did that over Wildwood and that whole area there. Yeah, but the main thing is to see that if we're able to do that, I mean, without a whole lot of cost to the city, this is a standpoint of insurance. Because I know that the people lived over on Mustang, okay, some people couldn't even sell their homes, okay, and that's where I'm driving at. So if that has been alleviated, that might be something we would do, that the citizens would benefit from that as far as their insurance rates on their homes, if they're in proximity of those canals.
We can take a look at that and see which ones came out and maybe limit the scope of it.
Anybody else have anything else?
FYI.
This is FYI, so.
Okay, are we gonna go through the report now, or,
unless you have any further questions about that.
And right? Again, just for your handout, as far as the numbers, anybody have any questions about the financials on that?
Yes,
so it's pretty detailed, the way they broke that down makes a lot of sense. You know, we've been able to like Mark has said, do these things. But again, just with the fiscal challenges that we have, to try to get our number one challenge taken care of, is that when's the last time we borrowed money?
I believe it was about either 3 or 4 years ago, the budget, when we actually had a borrowing, I believe. We hadn't done it in the last two.
Right. So you can see that we've got an outstanding credit rating. So if we had to go out, it'd be cheap to do it. But since we've got this doggone rock in our pack that we got to carry, that makes things that much more difficult. Which also, as you talk to the residents here, they need to understand that to be able to provide the services and the quality of life that they want, we need to have some changes done in Austin to help us and other cities like us, so we can go forward and do the right thing by our people, okay?
Yes, Mayor, I'll just add that these projects that we have for our citizens, I mean, they're not exciting projects. I mean, the things we just went over today, I mean, a lot of them, sidewalks, I guess, would be. But outside of that, a lot of them are under the ground. You don't see them, really. But this is what makes, in my opinion, Harker Heights such a good city, is that we do spend the time and effort to make sure we keep that infrastructure up. Because trust me, when it starts failing, it goes the other way quickly. And when you start having sewer problems, water problems, street problems, all those things. So, again, I think that what does make Harker Heights unique is that we do take a very holistic approach, using our master plans to get out there and make those repairs and make sure our infrastructure stays up. And that makes us a good city for the long term, which sustains our citizens in terms of their property values and things like that. Because when the other things start failing, it impacts everything. So very proud of the efforts of Mark and his crew, as well as our finance team, keeping up with the myriad of revenue streams, be it bond monies or property taxes that come in, and how all that gets sorted out and paid out.
Mark, did you have anything else?
No, sir, that's
okay.
All.
Okay, do we have anything for finance?
No.
Okay, David, anything else?
No, sir.
Anything else from the council?
Yes, sir.
Okay, time is 3:59, and we're adjourned.